YKKISTRONG. Head on over to any of those platforms and let me know where you listen to VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn and Anna Mateo. Later, Greg Stockel and Jill Robbins answer a question from an English learner in Colombia. We close our program with an American story. This week, it is The Outcasts of Poker Flat. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
China recently landed its third spacecraft on the moon and says the Explorer vehicle successfully collected material from the lunar surface. The effort marks the first time in more than 40 years that any nation has collected samples from the moon for return to Earth. Observers believe the latest space mission, along with several others planned for the future, can help strengthen the image of China's ruling Communist Party. China is a generation behind the United States and Russia in its space exploration efforts. But its secretive, military-linked space program is quickly developing. Among its space projects are a robot explorer on the way to Mars, development of a reusable space plane, and a planned human mission to the moon. Kathleen Campbell is an astrobiologist and geologist at the University of Auckland in New Zealand. She told the Associated Press that the next 10 years will be quite critical in space exploration. This is where we're going to transform out of near-Earth orbit and back into what people will call deep space, Campbell said. In 2003, China became the third nation to launch an astronaut into orbit on its own. It took place more than 40 years after the former Soviet Union and the United States launched astronauts into orbit. China's first orbiting laboratory was launched in 2011. A second was launched in 2016. Plans call for a permanent space station to be established after 2022. The latest moon landing represented a historic step in China's cooperation with the international community in the peaceful use of outer space, a foreign ministry spokeswoman said. The spokeswoman added, China will continue to support international cooperation and the exploration and use of outer space in the spirit of working for the benefit of all mankind. After astronaut Yang Li Wei's 2003 flight, Chinese space officials expressed hope for a crewed mission to the moon as early as 2020. They later pushed back that target to at least 2024. China's space plane would be its version of the American space shuttle and the former Soviet Union's short-lived Buran space plane. China also has launched its own network of GPS satellites, so its military does not need to depend on GPS systems operated by the U.S. or Russia. China's military-run space program is more secretive than those of other governments. Yang and other Chinese astronauts made very few public appearances after their flights. This compares to Soviet and American astronauts who were sent on publicity trips to visit huge crowds around the world. I'm Brian Lin.
It is not surprising that people have turned to TikTok for 60 seconds of relief in a year marked by the COVID-19 health crisis and social and political unrest. This week, the social media app shared its list of top 100 videos in America. The videos include a man skateboarding, singing, and drinking cranberry juice on his way to work. The director of creator community at TikTok is Kudzi Chikumbu. He told the Associated Press that there is a main idea, or through line, connecting all these videos. He said the through line is that these are videos that brought joy and inspiration to millions of Americans in a year that has been a bit of a whirlwind for everyone as we all try to figure it out. A whirlwind is a time filled with quickly changing events and feelings. TikTok is especially popular among younger people born between 1981 to 2012. They experiment with effects like green screens to add different backdrops. Some have even become social media stars called influencers with many followers. The Weeknd's Blinding Lights and Jason Derulo's Savage Love inspired TikTok dance challenges that made them the top songs on the app. For some TikTok creators, the coronavirus itself became inspiration to create a connection with other users. Caitlin Riley used the app to make fun of coworkers on Zoom. It became one of the top liked videos. Curtis Roach sang about endless days at home with his song, Bored in the House, something people all over the world can relate to. The second most popular video was made by an Idaho man named Nathan Apodaca. He became famous with a video of himself singing Dreams by Fleetwood Mac while skateboarding on a road. When talking about Apodaca's video, Chikumbu said, "It's really about capturing an essence and a moment." However, for those who have not used the app, some of the videos may be hard to understand, including the most liked TikTok video. In the video, Bella Porch, a woman with 45 million followers, simply moved her mouth or lip-synced to the words of a song. She added a few seconds of well-timed head moving and eye rolling. She has since launched her own businesses and turned her art form into a career. The app might be aimed at younger people. However, Chikumbu said this year the growth of TikTok has pushed it more into popular culture. He said, "You're seeing everyone, from the teenager to the college student, with their parents and their grandparents, all making videos. Some of the most watched videos show people's homes. Others show people making things like donuts. All signs of the times. I'm Ana Mateo.
Today, we answer a question from Jorge in Colombia. He writes, I'd like to know the difference between how long and how much time. When should I use them? Thank you. From Jorge in Colombia. Dear Jorge, thank you for your question. Both how long and how much time are used to ask about the amount of time something takes or has taken. But there are differences between the two. Let us take a look at them.
You will probably hear how long more than how much time. It can sound less formal than how much time, and many speakers find it more natural. It often comes at the beginning of a question. Here are a few examples.
How long have you lived in Texas? How long will you be at the store?
How long is often used with the present perfect verb tense. So the questions you may want to ask will likely begin with how long have you? English speakers do not use how long directly before the word time. It is not correct to say how long time. However, you may hear how long a time in some situations, as in this example.
How long a time will we have to wait for the test result? How much time is more exact than how long? You will hear it at the beginning of a question. It is often used when asking about a shorter length of time. English speakers may think it sounds a bit awkward to say how much time when not asking for or giving directions. For example, you might use how much time to ask for the amount of time it takes to cook something. Or you might use how much time to ask for the estimated length of time it takes to do a task.
How much time does it take to cook rice? How much time will it take to clean the house? Thank you for the question, Jorge. I hope it did not take too much time for you to understand the answer. And that's Ask a Teacher. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Greg Stockel.
Now, an American story from the Voice of America. We present The Outcasts of Poker Flat by Bret Hart. Here is Jim Tedder.
John Oakhurst was a gambler. He had lived in the small western town of Poker Flat for only a short time. He had defeated many people at cards. He had also won a lot of their money. For that reason alone, he was not well liked. On the morning of November 23rd, 1850, he saw some men talking as he walked down the main street of the town. As he came near, they got quiet. He said to himself, I guess they're talking about me, and that can't be good. Oakhurst was right. Some of the town's leaders had met secretly and decided to force some people to leave. They thought Poker Flat would be a better place to live if those people were gone. Besides Oakhurst, two women of low morals were led to the edge of town. They were the Duchess, as she was called, and Mother Shipton. A man called Uncle Billy was added to the group. He was known to drink too much. Some people thought that he had also stolen some gold. They had no proof, but that did not matter. Uncle Billy was just no good, and he had to go. The outcasts were told that if they ever came back, they would be killed. So the four of them slowly rode out of town. The Duchess cried and said she would probably die on the road. Mother Shipton and Uncle Billy cursed.
Damn it.
Mother said she would like to cut the heart out of the people who had done this to them. But John Oakhurst rode in silence. He thought all of life was a gamble. He had just run into some bad luck. That was all. The outcasts were headed for Sandy Bar, a camp not too far away. But it was high up in the cold Sierra Mountains, and the path was anything but smooth. Around noon, Mother Shipton became so tired, she fell off her horse. She said that was as far as she was going today. Oakhurst tried to make them move on because they had no food or fuel. But the three would not listen. Instead, they began to drink alcohol that Uncle Billy had hidden. Soon, they were quiet and asleep. Oakhurst did not drink. He stood nearby and watched them. He began to think about his life and about how lonely he was. Yet he was stronger than his three companions. He could have left them there and set off alone, but he did not. Then he heard someone call,
"Yo! John! John! John Oakhurst!"
A young man named Tom Simpson came riding up. The gambler knew Tom. They had once played cards, and Oakhurst had won. But after the game, he told young Tom that he was too easy to beat, and he gave him back his money. Tom said Oakhurst would be his friend for life. Tom was not alone. From behind a tree came his new wife, a girl named Piney Woods. Her father had not wanted her to marry Tom, so they had run away. Tom told Oakhurst that he had a little food. He also showed him an old log house just off the path. Years of harsh weather had nearly ruined it. But it was all they had, and it would have to do. The women could spend the night in there. The men would make a fire and sleep on the ground by the door. The night seemed to pass quickly, but the weather became colder. The wind increased, and it began to snow. Oakhurst had a bad feeling. He turned to where Uncle Billy had slept and found him gone. He had left the others and even taken their horses. Oakhurst said Uncle Billy had probably gone for help, but he knew better. The group of five decided to wait for the snow to stop before traveling farther. They no longer had horses. From here on, they would be on foot. By the third day out from Poker Flat, the snow had gotten deep. They could no longer see the path. Food was running low. Everything around them was white and cold. 1 week later, they still had not moved. The snow was deeper than ever, and it continued to fall. It formed a prison they could not escape. Still, they could see smoke rising from the warm fires in the houses down below in Poker Flat. The sight seemed especially cruel. But the little group of outcasts tried to keep up their spirits. They tried to stay as warm as they could. They sat together by their own open-air fire, and Tom Simpson pulled out a small accordion from his pack. Piney Woods played the instrument. They all sang songs. The music took on a defiant quality, a quality of resistance. But the outcasts had to listen to the sad cries of their mostly empty stomachs. The hunger got worse with each passing day. At midnight on the 10th day, Mother Shipton called Oakhurst to her side. She said, "Give this to the young ones." In a bag was all her food. She had not eaten for days. She had saved the food for the others. She turned quietly to the wall of the log house and died. John Oakhurst began to think that none of them would live out the storm. He gave Tom Simpson a pair of snowshoes and asked him to try to walk back to Poker Flat for help. He guessed it would take Tom at least 2 days, if not more, to get there. Tom kissed his new bride and left on foot. Soon, he was out of sight. The Duchess and Piney were surprised and frightened when Oakhurst also turned to leave. "You're not going too," they cried. He said, "Only a little way. I need to find us some help." At that time of year, daylight did not last long. When night came, Oakhurst had not returned. The two women were too hungry, weak, and cold to even add more wood to the fire. They passed the stormy night holding each other close. And that is the way they were found the next morning when help arrived from Poker Flat. They had frozen to death during the night. The rescuers from town said that they had been right to force the outcasts to leave Poker Flat. But they never thought the punishment would end up like this. Justice was one thing, but freezing people to death was not their aim. And then they thought of the gambler. Where was he? What had happened to him? They searched as best they could. And then they found him. Under a tall tree, a playing card was stuck into the wood by a knife. On the card was written, "Beneath this tree lies the body of John Oakhurst, who had some bad luck starting the 23rd of November, 1850. He handed in his cards on the 7th of December, the same year. Oakhurst sat there, cold and still. They said he looked peaceful. A single bullet from a small handgun nearby had ended his life. John Oakhurst had been both the strongest and the weakest of the outcasts of Poker Flat.
You have been listening to An American Story on the Voice of America. The Outcasts of Poker Flat by Bret Harte was adapted and read by Jim Tedder. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.